Enjoyed that. I trust you did as well. It's a great blessing to reap the fruits of the labors of Brother Joe in the Word of God. He has definitely been studying, and I thank the Lord for what he's shown us this morning. And I've learned some things this morning. I hope you have as well. It's a great blessing to be in this service with you. Appreciate the singing, as Brother Joe said, and also the prayer. And hope that you'll continue to pray for us what time we stand before you this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 7. Don't have time to look at the whole chapter, but I'd encourage you. I'm going to go ahead and give you some homework. Read the whole chapter. There is a lot to be learned in this chapter, and I believe that Brother Joe mentioned Saul of Tarsus. And he was regenerated late in life, I believe. And I believe the reason God's wisdom is far above ours is so that who better to explain to God's people what it's like being without the Holy Spirit in your heart and the change that takes place to then, who better to describe that to anyone than Saul of Tarsus, who as an adult in life saw a great change that took place in his life. I believe Romans 7 is a description. If he wrote down a diary of his life before, during, and after, that's what Romans 7 is for us. But we'd like to jump into the later part of this chapter here and start reading in verse 18. He says, "For I know," and this is something we all need to know, he says, "For I know that in me," in parentheses, that is, in my flesh, "dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Now, Paul, what he's writing here in describing where he is now, right now, and where we are right now, if you took these words that he is going to say and went to a psychologist, let me go ahead and tell you your diagnosis. It'd be bipolar. He's going to describe 1 minute he's over here and 1 minute he's over there. And the reason for that is there's two natures inside of him and two natures inside of us. He says, "I know that in my flesh there dwells no good thing." We have a sinful nature. It's just as sinful as it always ever has been. But now we've got something else that he's going to talk about here. He says, "For to will is present with me." You know, before a child of God is born again, he has a will not and a cannot. Jesus said in John 8, "Ye will not come to me that you might have life." There's the will not problem. But in another place, he says, "Why do you not hear my words, even because you cannot hear my speech?" So you have a will not problem and a cannot problem. Well, after you're born again, you are like Paul here, and now you have a will inside of you that desires to please God. And you also have been given the ability to please God. Notice Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, "For without faith it is impossible to please God. But God has given you in the new birth the gift, the wonderful gift of faith, so that you can walk by faith and live by faith. And when you live and walk and talk by faith, you please God." So you have the ability, you also have the will, but you also have the flesh. Now notice these words, verse 19. "For the good that I would, I do not." Has that been your experience? You want to do something good, but then you don't do it. And then he says, "But the evil which I would not, that I do." Say, I don't like this, but then you end up doing it. You know, it's a terrible thing to be around someone who is a hypocrite. And we're living in a world full of them. You know, that's what I hated about the military. You know, I just hated when they would tell you to do something and then they'd do something else. The hypocrisy, that's what makes a person cynical. But when you get around people who they want you to be tolerant, let's just all tolerate one another, and then they won't tolerate you. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to be around the hypocrisy. But I'm going to tell you, we're all hypocrites. We all say, "I want to do this that's good," and then we don't do it. we shouldn't be doing this over here, and then we do it. Notice how he says here in verse 20. Now, if I do that I would not, is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, that's a very important distinction that he makes here. When you sin, the sin that dwells inside of you, that's not really you. You know, the real you is the child of God. It's the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. That's the real you. That's what you'll be in all eternity. You'll be perfect and sinless and holy. That's the real you. But the you that sins and doesn't do what you should and doesn't say what you should, that's not the real you. It's the sin that dwells inside of you. Verse 21, he says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I remember something Brother Clem Nettles told me a long time ago, a while back, a few years back. He said that he would set in his mind that he was going to go and give somebody something, money or whatever it is. He says, and the whole way over there, the devil tried to talk me out of it. The whole way over there, the devil tried to talk him out of it. He said here, it's a law that in this case, you know, there's two kinds of laws that the Bible teaches. One that's given by a civil or some type of authority, a rule to follow. But there's also a law like the law of gravity. Something that consistently happens because of some force. That's the law that's under consideration here. Paul says, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Always seems like we still, when we're trying to even do what's right, there's still sin involved in it. It's a wonder that it's by God's mercy and grace that He even accepts our worship service here this morning. Have y'all ever thought about that? I mean, where has your mind been since you've been in this service? Has it been completely focused on the Lord the whole time like it should be? Not mine. I'm sorry. I need to do better. Even when I would do good, I'm singing songs of praise to my Lord, and yet my mind is somewhere else. Isn't that terrible? But that's the way we are because we have this sinful nature that tries to draw us away from the things of God. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You know, God's law. Now, that's the other type of law. The law that's given, rules to follow. He says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Not only, you know, I appreciate what Brother Danny said in his prayer. It's a privilege to be here, but it's also a duty. And so here we come to the house of God. It's our duty, but it's our privilege to be here. But what a wondrous blessing for the child of God who doesn't just do, like Brother Joe said, we don't just do what God tells us to out of spite, just because we're supposed to do it. We delight to do it. Isn't that wonderful? Well, the inward man that he talks about here, that's what's given to you when you're born again. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. When you are born again, there's a new creature that's been placed inside of you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A new creature is put inside of you. It's very important you use that word creature. And the reason why is it's a creation. It's not an evolution. Have you ever thought about if by making a choice or making a confession or by doing some act, we go from not being a child of God to being a child of God? That's evolution. That's evolving. But the Bible doesn't teach about spiritual evolution. It teaches about a new creature. It's a creation in Christ Jesus. It's, in this case, called the inward man. Ephesians 4 is called the new man. It's called Christ within you. It's called many different things. But here is the point. That something that is inside of you that delights in the law of God, that's the inward man. And that's the real you. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, I think there's at least three laws mentioned in this 23rd verse. Notice, here's another law. Here's another thing that's like gravity that takes place. There's another law in my members, and it's at war against the law of my mind. Now, when he says my mind, I believe what he has under reference here is when the child of God is born again, Hebrews 8 tells us that God writes his laws into their mind. He puts his laws in their mind and writes them into their heart. God's law is inside of that person. If you back up to the second chapter of Romans, he tells us about the Gentiles who by nature do the law of God when they were never given the Mosaic law. Why? They show the work of the law written in their hearts. That's how they have God's law inside of them. So you have God's law in your mind and in your heart. He says, but there's another law that is at warfare against that law. Now this can get real confusing real fast. But the part I'd like for us to notice is the end of this verse. He says, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now that depraved nature that you have inside of you, let me tell you what it wants to do to you. It wants to make you a prisoner. Bringing you into captivity, another expression for that is to slavery or a prisoner. So the sin that's inside of you wants to enslave you and trap you and make you its prisoner. Now, one thing that is very interesting in the world in which we live, where sin is celebrated, is what people don't realize, they are becoming prisoners and in bondage when they follow that path. That's not a path of freedom, it's a path of captivity. It's amazing how people just can't see that, but the real path to follow for liberty is a path that God spells out for us. If you want true freedom and liberty, you're not going to find it in living in sin. Very important that we see that distinction. You know, when we have people that want to be happy in this world and then they don't find happiness. Why is that? Well, I mentioned my cousin last Sunday, and I sent him a Bible verse this past week, and it's Proverbs 29:18, and it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but whoso keepeth God's law, happy is he. Now that text tells us, if you want to find happiness, you'll find it in keeping God's law. You won't find it in going and doing whatever you want to do. You know, people don't find happiness in going and doing whatever they want to do. But the Bible tells us you'll find happiness in keeping God's law. I appreciate Brother Joe Young telling us that we would not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. That's where the happiness is found, in doing what the word of God teaches us to do. This sin that's inside of us wants to bring us into captivity. But how do we keep it from doing that? Turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to notice with you something mentioned here that I have, I've just been amazed by it. But I want us to see some ways that we can keep from being brought into captivity by this sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now notice, this text tells us, sin will bring you into bondage. The devil wants to bring you into bondage. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom when the Spirit of the Lord is here. Have you ever thought about how we have so many natural hindrances that keep us from being able to accomplish the things that we like to accomplish? But when the Spirit of the Lord is present, the freedom that comes from that can do away with all those hindrances. Just think, here's one example in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, it says, there came a sound of a rushing mighty wind through the place. And it says, cloven tongues of fire lighted upon each one of them. And they heard the preaching of the gospel in their own native tongue. Suddenly, the language barrier was not there. Now, can y'all imagine that? Let's just pretend this morning we had someone from China, someone from Russia, someone from Mexico or France, all these different languages represented, and someone's up here preaching, and everyone hears in their own native tongue. Now, wouldn't that be something? Well, I'll tell you, when the Spirit of the Lord is there, there is liberty. All the obstacles are gone. All the barriers that are present are gone. There is freedom that takes place when the Spirit of the Lord is present. Now back up with me to, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. And I want to notice with you what he tells you about your current position and your current state. Here in Romans 8 verse 1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now notice he says, right now, there is no condemnation upon you. Now that's good news to me this morning. And the reason there's no condemnation, because Brother Joe has read in Hebrews 9, Christ has made the offering. He made the offering through His own blood, through the, notice Hebrews 9:14. He offered through the eternal Spirit. There, the Spirit was present on the cross at Calvary. Jesus made an offering. Now, He didn't offer Himself to the sinner. That text doesn't teach that. Hebrews 9:14 says He made an offering. But He offered Himself without spot to God. That's where the offering was made. And those high priests in that Old Testament tabernacle, they weren't offering to the people, you understand. They made offerings to God. That's the one they were trying to please. And that's the one they were trying to make the sacrifice acceptable in His sight. So there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's your position this morning. You are in Christ Jesus. So there's no condemnation upon you. He says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, that's not saying, well, if you just walk after the Spirit, you won't have any condemnation. That text is telling you that this is what the child of God does. He is, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You want to find a child of God, you find someone who's led by the Spirit of God, and they walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Verse 2, for the law, there's that word again, of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There's that freedom that comes when the Lord's Spirit is present. There's freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. The law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There's two laws there. First law, the law of sin and death. That law is if you sin, then you're going to die. Now, we're not talking about natural death. We're talking about eternal death, the second death in hell's fire. You will experience that death because you're a sinner. But this text tells us we've been made free from that. How? By the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we've been made free from the fires of hell. We don't have to live in fear of hell and sin and death. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord has freed us from that. You know, perfect love casteth out fear. And we have the perfect love given to us in the Son of God. And we don't need to fear this morning. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You say, well, I don't want to be a sinner. I don't want to be brought under bondage and captivity. Well, what you need to be praying for, Jesus taught us this in Luke chapter 11. You need to be praying for the Holy Spirit. In fact, David in Psalm 51, and asking the Lord to forgive him for the sin that he committed with Bathsheba, and praying for repentance, he says this to the Lord when he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He says, take not away thy Spirit from me, and take not away thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me a right spirit. What did he want? The Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to be present if we are going to experience freedom from these things. You know, we have something else in James chapter 1 that he tells us here. And that is, we have something right now. We have something in the church. God has made us, here in the New Testament church, you know, he tells us in 2 Corinthians 3, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And here in James chapter 1, we're told this in verse 23. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law, there's that word again, of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now notice he tells us to look into the perfect law of what? Liberty. Perfect law of liberty. And you look into it like a person looking into a mirror, beholding his natural face in a glass. You read in your Bible, it's like looking in a mirror. Oh, if you read Romans 7 and you do the homework that I assigned you, then you will notice that that is talking about you. It's talking about your experience, how you want to do what's right, but you don't. You don't want to do what's wrong, but you do. And all these things that takes place, it's like looking in the mirror. But I can tell all of you looked in the mirror this morning because I've been around folks that get out of bed and what they look like, and they don't look like you. You've made improvements. I can tell. You've made some improvements. But I'll tell you, the same thing needs to take place when we read our Bibles and we hear the preaching of the gospel. We need to make improvements. If you want to be free from the captivity of sin, you must make improvements. You must read the Word of God and do it if you want to experience that freedom. Look into the perfect law of liberty. In Romans chapter 8, if we go back there, and we're going to have to close here for time's sake, I want you to consider that sin brings about death to our body. And this new man inside of you, in Romans 8, he's called the creature. And he says in verse 19 of Romans 8, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." That part inside of you, that new creature, that inward man, is waiting, is longing for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, we look how we do naturally, but when the Lord comes back again, there's going to be a glorious change that takes place on us. A glorious change. And the creature inside of you is longing and looking for that time to come. Notice verse 20. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope." Just think about the horrible torture that your inward man is enduring and suffering by being placed inside of you. Can you imagine? I mean, it'd be like trying to be a good hard worker and a good person and going and being placed into an environment of a bunch of slackers and people who make fun of you for wanting to do what's right. And wouldn't that be terrible? Well, I'll tell you, that's what your inward man is experiencing right now. Being encaged in this body of flesh, this body of sin, and wanting to do what's right and delighting in the law of God. And yet, here we are, sinners once again. But verse 21 says, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." There's what we have to look forward to. When the creature itself, the new creature inside of us, it will be delivered from this bondage of corruption into what? Into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Glorious freedom. No more bondage of sin. No more corruption. No more of the things that we experience in this life when we are delivered from that bondage of corruption. What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. I thank you for your good attention this morning.